Tú me pones un éxito. Si tú no quieres hablar conmigo, dímelo para yo no llamarte ni molestarte, porque nada más quedaba tú.
Real talk. Real people. Real stories. The He's Just Podcast. Yeah! Welcome, everyone, to another He's Just Podcast. I'm your host and founder of the He's Just a Social Worker Movement with another amazing show for you today. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this platform was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. And this is no longer our plight, and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Today, meet Lisa Morgan, a breakthrough and empowerment coach whose work goes far beyond traditional life coaching. With a background as a certified professional coach and board certified music therapist with 3 decades of personal life experiences, Lisa digs deep into inner healing. She helps her clients release subconscious blocks, heal from past trauma, and reclaim their voice, power, and self-worth. Her method is trauma-informed, spiritually grounded, and rooted in somatic wisdom. Lisa doesn't just talk about transformation. She facilitates soul-level breakthroughs that are felt in the body, rewired in the nervous system, and anchored in the heart. Today, we talk to Lisa about a book she co-authored with Lisa Nichols, Against All Odds, which serves as a testament to the human capacity for resilience and determination. Lisa's clients often say to her, they found more healing in one session with her than in years of therapy. Her signature process helps people step into full alignment with who they really are. Today, we walk with Lisa and learn about her journey of reclaiming identity, of turning pain into purpose, and how she rewrote her story. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, Jules, that sounded pretty terrific. Is that me?
We're just honored to have you here, friend. Let's just dive right in. Tell us a little bit about what you're currently working on. Tell us about yourself so we can move forward.
Oh, what I'm currently working on, I'm always working on my healing. I mean, that's never stopped. And, you know, even in the 1980, when I started working as a music therapist in the psychiatric units in the general hospital setting, I now can look back and see that my life is in 3 segments. Okay. The first third was living with passion, exuberance, vitality, joy, professional success, adventure, fun, you name it. It was awesome. That was till I was 48 years old. And then I crashed and burned, and I say shattered, when anxiety and panic hijacked my body, came out of the blue, completely blindsided me. And I mean, I just completely went under, down under into the darkness. And I call it the deadly D's, the debilitating depression, dysfunction, derailment, you know, just... It totally threw me for a loop. So that opened up the door to the next section of my life. That started in 1996. And, I had a little reprieve when that 1999, when I really shattered, a whole year hiding out and just trying to, I didn't know what was going on. Even though I'd worked in psychiatry, I had no clue what was going on. So, it turned me upside down and inside out. I was trying to hide from my husband and hide it from my kids, and I could barely pay the bills. And money is a big trigger for me, and there's a whole story about that. But I mean, it literally had me jumping out of my skin. And so I didn't know what was happening. It was very disconcerting. And I was hanging on for dear life watching Oprah and Dr. Phil every day. She was my lifeline. And she was featuring a lot of coaches at the time. And so finally I was like, coaching, because I had done something called the Forum, Landmark Education Forum. It's the first place that I got introduced to the idea of, will you take the coaching? And it's like, will you take the coaching? So anyway, that was a big deal. And so they were featuring all these coaches, and I went online thinking, I wonder if I could be a coach. I found a program and I got certified, and that gave me a reprieve until I shattered again. And, you know, I got really deeply involved starting in 2004 with major body voice energy based healing modalities. My first was bioenergetics in a soundproof room, 4.5 years working with that therapist, then and trying to build my coaching, getting out and coaching, having a lot of success with people. And then I got triggered again and shattered again. And I finally said, I cannot go back to that soundproof room and scream every time, because my body just screamed. I mean, just let out these blood curdling screams for 4 years, which was trapped trauma coming to the surface and being released. So I don't want anybody to be afraid of that. And then I went into EMDR, which is truly recognized as a cutting edge, you know, energy-based approach for working with trauma and healing trauma. And you can heal trauma. The first thing I said to the therapist, I said, okay, I've been doing this a long time. I said, how long is this going to take? And she said, well, let me ask you a question. When did it start? How long did it last? How extreme was it? Was your life ever threatened? And I said, well, it started in the womb and the minute I was born. It lasted my whole life until the last episode at age 50, when I have no amnesia and no consciousness of any of this. It was extreme. It was off the Richter scale extreme. I mean, it was extreme. And I even refer to my life as a Holocaust or, you know, slavery, and that my life was threatened all the time. But I have no conscious memory of any of that. So I say amnesia and soul fracturing saved my life. It allowed me to live, even though this was all going on for the first 50 years of my life. So
can you speak to us a little bit about soul fracturing and amnesia as a spiritual survival mechanism for you? And what does that mean?
So I've been online and I've tried to find a description of amnesia that really, that truly fits my experience, and I can't find it. You'll find dissociative disorder, descriptions of that, dissociation, multiple personality disorder. Sybil, the movie Sybil, was the best portrayal for people to understand multiple personality, or her body being hijacked by a part and she was gone. I mean, she was even like a boy for a year or something like that. She was a male figure in a girl's body. That movie, actually, her rendition of a part taking over her body, and then she acted out that part, that aged part that she was. That's what it looked like in that soundproof room when my parts started coming out. It was like I was present. I was cognizant. I could hear and see and feel what they were doing and allowed it all. I just didn't know what the heck it was for a long time. But soul fracturing happens when a human being, especially a tiny child, is so overwhelmed by such a horrific experience. Their body, their mind, their heart, their soul, their nervous system is totally overwhelmed by the egregious, awful, harmful, horrific, abusive, violent experience they're going through. And in order to survive, it is built into the DNA of our spiritual makeup. It is a God-given gift. It is a survival mechanism. We all have it. We describe it by different things. Like a child that's daydreaming in the classroom, and they're off in la-la land, you know, and the teacher's like, you know, come back, you know, and they truly may be fractured and off in a soul part. You know, it's not just necessarily daydream. But when that part comes into being, I say, when I worked in psychiatry, I called it the revolving door. It was like patients coming in, you know, I called it the St. Mary's Country Club. I mean, they were coming in for more medications, more free food and entertainment, you know, the activities therapy department, and getting re-diagnosed, more medications, you know, and I never saw any improvement, you know. So in my years in psychiatry, it was like, this would never be for me. I'm a music therapist. I'm all about holistic, the whole person, you know? And so I just knew that traditional psychiatry and talk therapy would never be for me if my day ever came. And my day did come, you know, years later. So the soul fracturing is It's innate. It happens. You truly, it's, I mean, I don't like to use psychiatric terms because I don't want to label us, but mm-hmm. it is like there is a fracture and this soul part takes on the memory, the experience, the feelings, the everything. And you as the host, conscious human being can get on living your life, no matter whether you're a newborn baby or a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 20-year-old or 50-year-old. That was the last episode that my father literally was abusing me. And I still had not done any work to break into all that. So I was still in a fractured state. And so my parts, that when I started really had the breakthrough, it was an energetic breakthrough in my root chakra. And it felt like dynamite blasting open way down in my pelvic area. I mean, it was a very visceral feeling. And then this swoosh of energy just came flying up as if you had a wind tunnel that, you know, just dropped down the center of my body. And this energy just came flying up and it opened my mouth really wide, like a snake's mouth unhinging at the jaw. And these blood curdling screams came roaring out. And they just went on and on and on and on and on. And I was just allowing my body to do its thing. I wasn't afraid. I was astonished and shocked. And when my body stopped, I had dropped down to all fours and just let it continue until it stopped. I looked up at my therapist and her eyes were as big as saucers. And I didn't ask her, why are your eyes so big, until almost 2 years later. And when I finally did, I said, why were your eyes so big? And she said, I was never afraid of your screaming, but I was astonished at how long it lasted. And that session was the beginning of my body screaming every single week and sometimes twice a week. And the sessions were 60, 90 minutes long. I mean, and eventually it wasn't just screaming. It was sobbing. It was mewing. It was like a whimpering little kitty cat. And then the voices, and then the parts came out, and like a 3-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 9-year-old would reenact what she had lived through. And then I got really curious and I started tape recording my sessions because so much was happening. I there's no way I could remember it all. And I really wanted to dissect what was going on. So that's a fractured soul part. And they literally held all of that away from me. So I could live for 50 years. I say God built an insurance policy for me within of living full out with joy. Because that's my nature. That's our nature. We are pure love and joy and, you know, fun. And I was a really active kid. I mean, there's so many survival scripts that were built into my system to help me survive. I was a really active outdoors, playing, climbing trees, roller skating. You know, my brothers, I was always the pickle in the middle of the game. Pickle. I could never get them tagged out. So I had to run back and forth all the time. But, you know, that really was, as I was out there letting off steam, I was letting off steam of what everything was happening to me the night before. So it was, you know, it really was a gift to work out, let my body release the energies of terror and extreme fear and rage, you know, I mean, because inside we know the heart of the soul of the child knows this is wrong. And this is not the way it was supposed to be. So that's soul fracturing. And then amnesia is, if I would ever, you have to have a picture in your mind's eye to remember something. You have to close your eyes. You can actually see, you know, see the day that you went to that restaurant. You can see the tables. You see the people around. You see the whole thing in your mind's eye. If I would ever open the door to seeing one image of one of the things he did to me, it would open the floodgates. It would be like a never ending video loop of incident after incident after incident after incident. And I would totally just be destroyed. I would go down a rabbit hole and I would never be able to come back. it would just be too much. Talk about re-traumatizing. It would, I wouldn't have been able to survive. So the amnesia protected me. It still protects me. But the truth is, I had to, in order to heal, I ultimately had to be able to go back and feel what my parts lived through. Mm-hmm. And so when they started revealing those episodes, those incidences in those periods of my life where things were being done to me, I lived those dark, dark, dark years with extreme, just distraught and wrung out and depression. I mean, deep depression. And ultimately during the EMDR years, it was like, I even got suicidal.
Mm.
And
Lisa, yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about what were the ways that you were learning now that that trust had been broken? How are your relationships and how is the trust now kind of impacted how you deal with relationships today?
So there's a book called Discover Your Strengths. Are you familiar with it?
I've heard it.
It was written by the Gallup poll people. And when you buy the book, there's a code inside. You can go online and take a test. And then it spits back to you your top five strengths. And the book itself has they interviewed thousands of people, I mean, all over the world. So each strength has a page description of what that is, what it means, how it shows up, whatever. And a list of famous people at the bottom who have that strength. Like I shared a couple of strengths with Oprah. I love that. It's like, yay, I love Oprah. Anyway, she and I have a lot in common. Someday I wish I'd get to meet her and share a lot of this stuff with her. But my top strength is called WOO, W-O-O, winning others over. And the description of that is that I can go into a room of total strangers, like 30 people, 50 people, 200 people, and I can work the room. I can introduce myself. I can engage people. They start to tell me who they are and what they do in the business. I say, I don't want to hear about that. Just tell me something juicy. I don't care about, you know, your career and where you work. I just want to know the good stuff. And then they laugh and then they tell me something, you know, and then I go on to the next person or whatever. Being with people and having relationships is one of my strengths. It fuels me. It is a gift that I have that makeup because I need people. But the other side of the coin, the flip side of the coin, is I also say that I suffered with the Lone Ranger syndrome. Mm-hmm. And from my very beginning, my inner child parts knew that, I mean, I was abandoned. I was neglected. I was betrayed. I was violated. I was everything. And I was on my own. And my mother was checked out, even from the moment I was born in the hospital. I was a breech birth, which was my baby trying to put the brakes on, screaming to God, I don't want to go down there. That's what the feet first was all about. It's like, it's too treacherous. I cannot go down there. I know I have an agreement with you, but no, I can't go down there. Trying to stop that delivery. That was the breech birth. And my mother was under sedation. And so as soon as I was born, they whisked her off to recovery. And I was left alone. And I've relived this whole fetus and newborn experience. My parts are going to start to come out pretty soon, Jules. I mean, I don't want to freak your audience out, but you know, they are just alive in me and they channel now. They don't just like reveal the bad stuff. They channel information. They're teaching me and guiding me. They're downloading things from the divine to incorporate into my wisdom to be able to help others walk this path, you know, and guide people and everything. But, In that hospital setting, she was the brand newborn baby was despairing and basically, where's my mommy? Mm-hmm. Where's my mommy? Oh my God, where's my mommy? So from the minute I was born, I was just like totally abandoned. And she was so checked out emotionally because of the abuse. My father wanted to kill me in the womb. That was basically it. He didn't want me to be born because of money. There mm-hmm. wasn't money. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to force that on my mother. So it was very ugly. And I'm inside pure consciousness. You talk about spiritual. I know everything going on. My soul knows everything going on between my mother and father, the dynamics, the issues, the, you know, the what was going on. So, and I didn't know all this for years. You got to understand, I've been working on this since 2004 with all my parts, you know, eventually over time, and certain things I lived through, certain scenarios, they revisited those themes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times before I really got the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth.
Mm. And you know, Lisa, you walk us through a path that many may have thought about, sometimes dream about, and really can't get the opportunity to live through it just like you did. Before we get into your book here, you have been part of 3 books, but we will talk about Against All Odds today. I saw a lot through your art therapy that began with those breakthrough moments. You and I spoke on the phone prior to getting on set. I think it was last week. And you were, you know, talking to me about a time when you were scribble drawing and that triggered something and that release. And you were connecting to a family member. This was being your grandmother. This kind of woke up different things for you. These emotional after effects that you talked about earlier, like the Lone Ranger and these kind of things, impact who we are daily. But we credit you, friend, because you continuously are in this self-discovery mode and you are leaving no rocks unturned. You are continuously pushing, and it takes a lot of courage to kind of go through that. And you've mentioned to us some of these survival mechanisms that you've dealt with, utilizing amnesia, and utilizing what may be a negative to kind of help you. Is there something that limits your beliefs as a caregiver or parent, understanding all the things that you have been through?
Well, I am a parent and I have 3 amazing kids and 2 grandbabies. But, you know, I'm not the mother today that I was back then. I was a walking wounded with a lot of unhealed, unresolved things festering inside of me that, you know, I'm living with a lot of stress, you know, and so they didn't get the best mom. You can look back and you can start to beat yourself up and blame yourself and I wish I could have type of thing, but you didn't know what you didn't know. And I did the best that I could at the time with what I did know. And my children were absolutely my top priority, my heart, my love. I mean, it was about my kids, but, you know, I can look back and see that these things living inside of me that, you know, that have a hold of you, were controlling me. You know, we are living out, these inner parts are in control. We think we're in control. The human being, the conscious mind, we think we're in control. No. Because, you know, I'm trying to think of, I'm going to give you an example of a scenario. You know, I know a lot about triggers and body memories and things like that. There was one time when I was doing the life coaching, and then I got, you know, had to go in for healing again. And I joined an MLM, you know, multi-level marketing company. And it was a party plan business. It was called Private Quarters. It was a one-of-a-kind business that was about luxury linens. You had your mattress, and I had 7 layers of bliss to put on top of your mattress, the feather beds and the yummy sheets and the down comforters and all that kind of stuff. And I had to find hostesses, and I had to keep in touch with them and make sure that they were inviting their friends and sending out invitations and doing the things. So I had to make phone calls. And every time I wanted to make a phone call, it was like pushing a boulder up a mountain. I mean, I was so triggered. And it's like I had to force myself to make that phone call. And then I'd be beating myself up because it's like, what the F? Mm-hmm. It's just a phone call. You can call your friends and talk about anything, but the minute it was like about a business thing, entrepreneurial thing, and I have to make this phone call, there's so much resistance living in me. I mean, it just had a vice grip on me. It just held me down completely. But I had to push through it. So it wasn't until later, and I don't know when, that I had a release. And I don't know if it was in bioenergetics. I don't know if it was at home. I did a lot of releasing at home with a tape recorder. Because if I waited for once a week a session, it was like I never would have gotten to the other side of this. So I was doing a lot of trauma releasing with my legs shaking, you know, like violently, and then a voice finally coming up and out. And then that high pitched or whatever age voice was reenacting whatever they lived through. Well, this is a little graphic. It's not too terrible, but it will really demonstrate how the soul part inside has got a grip on you and you think you're in control and you're not. So I'm trying to make these phone calls. And finally, I have this release where my five-year-old reveals that she's probably going to want to come out in her voice. She wants to tell the story. And, you know, if you're going to work with me, you're going to get used to this because I want to normalize it. I don't want people to be afraid of it. This is just all part of me. It's all part of my history. It's all part of everything. And everybody has these soul parts. Every age you've ever been, you have that soul part living inside of you. So the five-year-old heard her daddy downstairs and he was on the phone and I wanted to talk to him. So I went into the master bedroom and I picked up the phone and I started to say something and he heard my voice and I heard him, but he was talking to a woman and it wasn't my mommy. It was not my mommy. And then he started screaming at me and yelling at me and telling me to get off the phone. And the next thing I go tearing into my bedroom and hiding in the closet. And the next thing I know, he's charging up the stairs like a bull in a china shop. And he comes in and he drags me out of the bedroom and he drags me into the master room and he starts beating me with that phone. And the whole time he's yelling at me, don't you ever get on that phone again. Don't you ever get on that phone. You understand? Don't you ever get on that phone. That's the imprint that lived in me ever since I was 5 years old. So the word phone was a trigger. Every time I said the word phone, I felt her terror. And yet I don't have any knowledge of that incident. So I'm the adult feeling terror, feeling triggered, hyperventilating. You know, I mean, I'm feeling what she is feeling, but I don't know why I'm feeling it. And that's the piece about trauma and panic and anxiety and all these soul parts and these incidences that are out of our conscious mind but are buried inside. That's the part I really want to share with people to give them grace, give them compassion for themselves. This is a journey and we can get down to these things. I have very powerful techniques I can use to guide people to gently, gently release the trauma energy in the system and bring whatever wants to be revealed to the surface. We're not in control of that. Our parts choose when we're ready.
And Lisa, that's, thank you. Let us know. Thank you for really, you know, inviting us in and really taking us from your perspective. This is your show and we're here to listen and witness what greatness really looks like. Thank you for really taking the time to express and share with our platform the best ways to really connect in their truest forms. You know, when we're in school in the education realm, and I'm working with students, oftentimes you see a bubbly student who is always outgoing, knows all the answers, raises his hand, is always proactive, and something happens within the family dynamic. And usually, let's just use divorce or some sort of separation. The child goes through very similar what you just shared with us. And it doesn't really get to the physical part, but the reenactment of our students becomes just that. Their fight and flight and freeze starts coming in and you start seeing it. And many a times when we're working with students, that's why I never ever look at a referral. I never look at what some person had diagnosed about a student before and what they believe the student is walking in with, because then I'm not really placing the true value into what the student has. And that's why it's very important to kind of not let ourselves get caught up into titles and labels and forms of way, because students, children are people. And you right now, friend, have allowed us to really see that, feel it, how important it is to respond adequately when someone is trying to express. And when that is cut off and when that is stopped, that trauma really magnifies. Let's talk a little bit about your book, friend. I mean, you've got three, but here you co-author with Lisa Nichols, Against All Odds. Tell us about that experience and working with her. What was that like?
You know, it was up to us individually to create our chapter and submit it. And you were working with the editors and all that kind of stuff. But there was a huge celebration, a red carpet event that we got to go to and receive our Quillie Awards, because like a Oscar, because mm-hmm. it was the book was a bestseller on Amazon in like 8 different categories, you know, like almost mm-hmm. immediately. And we got to hang out with Lisa Nichols. And I've known Lisa, you know, I've been in her classes. I've been following her, you know, for a long time. You just, I don't know how to describe it. She actually did a performance for us of her one woman, one night Broadway show that aired, was featured in November or December, I guess. And we got to see a little bit of her reenacting that, you know, she did that for us. And it was just enthralling. She's the best storyteller in the whole world, mm-hmm. you know, and she just brings things to life. And to be around her was a privilege, to get hugged by her and feel her energy, you know, heart to heart, body to body. Oh my gosh. She's amazing. And she's a mentor from afar, you know, for me. I aspire to be able to have an impact, you know, her platform, Motivating the Masses. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much bigger of a mission does she have than to help motivate the masses and help them heal and rise up and claim their rightful place, you know, their mm-hmm. rightful birthright, you know?
So, such an amazing story. You know that you and I talked about that. I was like it was the energies that brought us together, and through her name, in this relation. But in your part, let's not, you know, it wasn't just like some chopped liver. You laid out your story just like the others did their story, but yours had a highlight of fighting back, of being hit but getting back up. You were deeply, you know, sharing emotional and transformational work through your healing and your journey through your childhood trauma, which included so much neglect and pain. But it also like kind of showed us that trauma can impact the mindset, the relationships, and one's body image. You know, this sense of identity is always hampered. And once again, we think about the people who are dealing with this, and listening to you, friend, is really a treat. What are ways that our audience can connect with you and find you if they need your support for coaching?
I'm just going to give them my cell phone number. Text me, 314-265-3491. And that's the best way. You know, I'm like, text, I look at immediately. You can email me, but there's my website, lisamcoachingabq.com. I couldn't get Lisa Morgan. I couldn't get Lisa. I couldn't get anything. So it's lisamcoachingabq for albuquerque.com. But 314-265-3491. And I do have a complimentary gift. It's an ebook I created called Anxiety and Panic Are Not the Problem. They're Just the Messenger. Mm. And these are 5 trauma-informed master keys to soothe the nervous system, rewire the body brain, and reclaim your power. And I would love to share that with people. But you got to reach out to me. And you may have to talk to me on the phone if you want it. I want to make connections.
Listen, Lisa Morgan, amazing. Just like you would, you know, here's my cell phone. I'm not even going to play around and give you websites and ads and whatever. Just call me and we're going to connect. Thank you so much for that. Let's talk a little bit more about your book. When you were like putting this chapter together and you're, you know, going through this, what was it about you that you talked about earlier, like the three departments or the three buckets that you've kind of separated yourself. Who was responding to your chapter as you were coming through, or what was the work that you needed to do to get this out there?
You know, the work was getting it written and getting it published in the book. And then Lisa's name obviously was a big, you know, a huge draw for it to get out there and people to be really interested. But, you know, for me, these other two books I was in, 2004, 2015, and now this one in 2024, it was like, okay, I wrote my first chapter. I'd broken into the fact that I'd been abused. I didn't talk about that. I talked about my relationship with my mom. And the chapter was called How Music Soothed My Soul, Kept Me Whole, and Forever Preserved the Joy in My Heart. So, but then the second chapter, 15, 16, 17 years later, I'd been on this healing journey, and it was all about uncovering everything and with my father. So that chapter was called Journey to the Dark Night of the Soul and Back. Only the truth will set you free. And I basically, you know, and that's when I started understanding about trauma and all this kind of stuff. So this chapter was like, okay, now what am I going to talk about? It's like, what's left, you know? And so what I really wanted to cover was how the trauma lives inside of you and affects you. And it, you know, the after effects of the trauma living inside and affecting you, affecting your self-identity, affecting your life, your success, your everything. And I think the last section of the chapter, I think I start that sentence, that section with the sentence of, what if I told you that everything you ever believed about yourself was a lie? Mm-hmm. And if I didn't say it that way, I'm saying it that way now. Because the truth is, it was. Our parents were flawed. They were unhealed. They had big time issues. And their reflection to us is the first image we get of ourselves. And I just will mention my Catholic renegade nun, Sister Cecile. I did a lot of inner healing retreats with her. She did an experience that I didn't experience, but people told me about, where she passed out a mirror to everybody. And when they finally held it up to look at themselves, these mirrors were cracked and chipped and blackened and, you know, scribbled all. I mean, they were not a perfect mirror. And so when you held it up to yourself, her guiding was, this is your parents' vision to you of who you are. And what kind of an image are you getting in that mirror? You can't see yourself. You're seeing all these cracks and chips and flaws and blackened parts. So you never had a chance, really, to ever get a self-image that was true. And the truth is, we are a spark of the divine. We are pure love. We are pure joy. We are pure heart. And that's the journey in life. I'm going to read this one quote. Healing is not about changing who you are. It's about letting go of who you are not. And all that imprinting, all that messaging, all the programming, all the wiring, all the yucky stuff. And it comes from the parents. It comes from the teachers. It comes from the peers. It comes from society, TV, magazines, all that message being dumped on us about who we're supposed to be or how we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be. It's not the truth.
I love the way you brought out a shared project with the mirror, where a student is able to really, and you know, children don't lie. When they see something, they really call out what they see exactly. Such an interesting exercise that I think I'm going to take myself to share with my students, because I think it allows us to really see the flawness in ourselves. We are taught and protected by our parents many a times to really feel perfect, and we are to them in many ways. However, we need to see the flaws that we have in order to fight and correct them. Really inviting to understand that. I wanted to ask you, Lisa, you know, as a coach, and you are using alternative ways of thinking and people are tapping into different ways, your skill set really speaks like no other. What are some of the things that you're able to get that other coaches could probably miss?
You know, I there's a saying I have that you can only take a therapist can only take somebody as far as they've been. Okay. And I've been to hell and back a million times. So I've walked the walk. I can talk the talk from the inside out. I know trauma from the inside out. I've healed trauma from the inside out. I know what's down there. And when I work with somebody, it's almost like I have a gifted sight to see beyond what they can't even see. I can hear the words that they're not saying. I can feel the feelings that they're not expressing. I can see the tears they've never shed. And because of the journey I've been through, like, I know rage. I know what rage is. And the metaphor, when you think of a grandmother that lifts a car off of its grandchild, because the grandchild, you know, I mean, that energy that she taps into to lift that car off, that's a metaphor, but I think it's really happened. You know, there are stories out there like that. That energy is like volcanic rage, and it is in us. And people, I don't get angry. Well, you were not allowed to get angry, or you're scared to death of anger because somebody you were around was really scary. So that rage is in us. It's down there. It's buried. It's suppressed. It's ignored, denied, and if it's still down there unexpressed, it's eating us up from the inside out. Think of spastic colon. Think of migraine headaches. Think of heart attacks. Rage suppressed in your system that's never been given voice. So because I know this, I've lived it, I've learned it by experience, I know what I'm looking for to help people move forward. And with Margaret's approaches and these powerful, she was an engineer that 18 years in engineering, and then she left to become a success coach. And she was working with entrepreneurs and really high functioning, success minded, goal oriented people. She'd have a great session and they'd come back 2 weeks later. And then everything they said they were going to do, they hadn't done a darn thing. Not one thing that they were so motivated. They were going to go do it. And then they came back and they hadn't done anything. And she finally just was like, what is going on here? And the bottom line is, resistance, fear, self-sabotage, avoidance. You know, we are afraid of something. A part of us is afraid of something. And that's why we feel that resistance. You know, it's like, and it feels like death. You know, it's like, oh my God, I can't, you know, it's like, we don't want to admit it. But the truth is, it feels like death. You know, it's like, it's just so terrifying. It's got such a grip on us, and it's in the nervous system. That programming is it's in the body, the brain, the mind, and your nervous system. It's the fight or flight, freeze, fawn, flop, and fracture. My stress response is, you know, it's beyond the three F's. I've got six F's in my, because of what I know from what I lived. So I just know what I'm looking for to help people get there.
You know, the power of your emotional intelligence, if you will, it really deeply understands triggers, but not because you're saying, I know what you're dealing with because I went through it, but more around the importance of listening to the inner parts, and you allow your clients to have that given voice. You know, giving them a chance to own their own truths and show them to reclaim themselves. I think it sounds like to me that this is why healing is possible when people are working with you. And it should be a delight to understand that you really come in there with no judgment. You really are there to really understand how things can be, but you allow that success to happen within. Really, really priceless. Can you tell me a little bit about, when you feel triggered, what might your inner child be trying to tell you during those moments?
So my triggering, my parts were in my solar plexus and my sacral chakra, like in my midriff area. And I walked around with stomach aches 24/7. And I mean 24/7. They would not go away. They were not indigestion. I didn't have the flu. It wasn't being sick. It was the triggered energy of a soul part presence in my midriff. And until I did something, which I learned how to do this releasing, you know, until I started basically, you know, in the soundproof room, I had that breakthrough and then every session thereafter. But then I started to learn to work with it and know that, okay, somebody's here. And if I don't go lie on my bed, and all I had to do was lay on my side and stretch my legs out, and then they would start shaking like this, just vibrating like that. And then I would make the ah sound, which that was bioenergetics. Bioenergetics was all about getting a breakthrough in your inner blocks, your inner armoring in your nervous system. And you make the ah sound as you're in these stress positions, you know, like when you lean up against a wall and you slide down and you're in a chair position, you know, your legs are going to start to shake and you can't stop it. Okay. So they created stress in the body to try to get the body to shake while you're making the ah. And when I had that root chakra blast through, then the voice changed from ah to a part coming out or a scream or whatever. And I learned to work with that. And so I had years of trapped trauma energy in my system. When your body gets triggered, and the best example is you're driving down the highway and you're speeding and you're not aware of it. And then all of a sudden you look in your rearview mirror and you see the cop's red light and it's chasing down after you. And your body gets absolutely ignited in the moment. Your sweaty palms, you're hard to, you know, your mind goes offline. It's foggy. I mean, your whole body just gets completely triggered. And we all know that. Well, when that happens and then the cop passes you and goes in front of you, then your whole body starts to calm down. Because it's like, oh, thank God he's not coming after me. Takes a moment, though, for your body to just kind of come back to rest and regulation and its natural state of being. But if a child is being abused, terrorized, is living in fear all the time, their body never gets to go back to the state of peace and calm. And all that energy, that cortisol, is trapped in your system. And, you know, we are living, I say we're born into a pre-traumatized world and we don't even know it. Like the fish swimming in the ocean doesn't know the ocean's there. What society is truly healed from the after effects of a world war or a genocide or slavery or whatever, or in your own home of physical or mental or, you know, emotional abuse or sexual abuse, you know? Our bodies are just like carrying all of this inside, and the body bears the body keeps the score, you know, Bessel van der Kolk's book. It does. It's trapped in the body. And that's why we have to get beyond just the mind down into the body. And you talked about art therapy. I'll tell you one thing I do, Jules, you may want to do this. I make everybody, because I worked with art therapists alongside them throughout my whole career. I always make them draw a self-portrait. Always. Mm. And I don't give them any instructions. I don't say what it is. I just say, draw a self-portrait. And they say, well, what does that mean? Should I do this? Should I decide? Just draw it. I'm not going to tell you, just draw whatever. Whatever comes out of you is just perfect. Don't look at your neighbor. Just don't worry. And give them colored pencils. They can use them or not, but let them draw their self-portrait. And then I never analyze their work. I ask them to journal. What were you thinking about when you drew that self-portrait? Can you remember what you were thinking about? Or do you know why you chose those colors or anything you can remember? And then I might at some point, because I do this with my clients and I don't do it right away. I make them draw it. And then eventually we go back to it. And maybe I say, take a look at it. Do you see anything new or different? Or is anything making sense? Or are you asking any questions about this or whatever? And at some point I might share my self-portrait and the process I went through, which is profound, because my self-portrait actually captures dissociation and soul fracturing in the picture. And I did not draw it. I had no clue that those things were in that drawing. But when I share mine, then they start to like, oh, well, she did that, but I didn't do that. I wonder why I didn't do that. You know, it's like you just want them to feel it out for themselves. But there's a lot of power in that self-portrait drawing, I'll tell you.
Yeah, there is. And even again, going back to working with children, through art is the best way to really connect with them when we're role-playing. So much that you let out for us there that really had me intrigued about what does that piece, that portrait look like for me now when I came in with the trauma, and what it may look like in another 6 months could be interesting.
If they draw it again, you know, later on, you know, draw it again. Jules, if you ever want to do it with me, I'll do it with you. Give me a call.
Game. I got your number. You know that.
Okay.
I'm down for sure.
Okay.
Let me just ask you, friend, you have worked with so many people and you have had the ability to really hone in on different things that you have shared through your spirituality. Is there a case or story that even you get, you know, like shook when you're thinking about, you don't need to name the client, obviously, but is there a story or is there someone that their impact has changed the way that you apply yourself and even wake up every day and say, you know what, today I'm going to dedicate this. Is there such a story for you?
Jules, it's kind of hard to beat my story. You know, I mean, my story is so extreme. So really what happens for me when I work with people is I'm moved to tears, and I say the tears of truth, my soul's been touched. It's like when they have a breakthrough, when they get a new insight, when they have a new awareness, when they make an aha connection or this just recently happened with a coach that I was coaching, and we're working on something called the money map. And, especially for entrepreneurs, and I do this as a complimentary session if anybody's interested. The money map is an assessment. It's about your savings, your income goals, your debt, and your toxic money. There are five different parts of money that we cover. But she's blocked. She's got set points. She's got a glass ceiling, and she gets triggered at the thought of trying to raise her prices. I mean, she's been doing this magnificent work for so long and she deserves to raise her prices, but she just can't do it. And so what's going on there? Well, we broke into a memory just this week of, she's really gotten down deeper and deeper and deeper that this rage with her mother. And, you know, we take in so much programming just through observation and through energy. It doesn't even have to be words said. The dynamics between our parents about money issues, talking about whatever, or, you know, and the trauma of, you know, let's say the father lost the business or they had to sell the house and downsize or whatever, their life changes. There's so many different elements that could be at play. But this just got down to a really ugly incident with her mother. Her mother just, you know, we shouldn't overuse labels and narcissistic and self-centered. And, you know, the money, she was divorced and wanted to just go off on her own and leave her kids. And the money, she would not get the child support if she didn't let the kids live with her. So what that revealed was that the kids were like a pawn. Or it was a mercenary interaction. And her soul is like rejecting it at the heart and soul level of her beingness. I don't ever want to be like that. And so we get these crossed, mixed up things that money means this. Money is just an expression of currency, of flow. And I always say money is just an expression of love. If I'm willing to pay you for something you've made or a service you provide, that means I trust you. I love you. I'm thankful for the gift of who you are and what you're giving me. But that's not what lives in our system. Mm. And these set points come from these early childhood imprints. Imprints is the best. I don't know if you have a better word, but I really like imprints.
It sounds good to me, and such a lovely story. Thank you so much for sharing. Before we let you go, Lisa, the floor is yours. Anything you want to leave our audience with to remember about you and the movement?
So I'm a stand for truth. And we have to learn to speak our truth, to be able to let it come up and out, to not be afraid of the truth. That's the bottom line. I'm a stand for hope. If I can heal from these extreme experiences and all these years of work, anybody can. I'm a stand for energy psychology, energy medicine. It is the way. It is, you know, traditional psychiatry, talk therapy can only take you so far. You already know what you already know. And if knowing it would heal it, then you wouldn't have any issues, but that doesn't work. So it's what's living in the body. It is the body, mind, brain, nervous system connection that a lot of coaching misses the key. That it's the missing link.
Mm. Well said, friend. Stand. You know, friends, remember, let's make today feel like yesterday never happened. Today, you will be at your very best. No matter the challenge, you will make tomorrow unforgettable. Ultimately, your future wishes, it had been better prepared for what you now have in store. We see you coming, and this is you, the perfect storm. Because on this platform, it was built. Because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. But this is no longer our plight, and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Tune in, friends, to another He's Just a Social Worker show, coming to another town near you real soon. We're out. Lisa, thank you so much for such an amazing show. Blessings to you, friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Jules. That was fun.
Please note that the views expressed here are my own and not a representation of my employers and clients. Thank you for listening. We're always here for you. Just message us and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thank you. More than just at He's Just a Social Worker. In memory of my mother, Matilde De La Rosa, this is dedicated to you, Mom. Miss you so much. En memoria de mi madre, Matilde de la Rosa, esto va dedicado a ti, mamá. Te extraño mucho.